You know, this is Memorial Day weekend. The first thing I want to do is, if there are any veterans amongst us right now, I'd like you to stand. We want to pray, thank you guys for your service. And maybe years ago, but we just want to thank you for it. We bless you guys. Without men like you, this country wouldn't be what it is. I thank you guys very much. Amen. Amen. For 2 years, I'd like to welcome everybody here. Thanks, Bob, for asking me to do this again. I enjoy doing it, even though I pace and pace and pace.
It was my pleasure.
I enjoy doing it.
Well, I had him up there. I already set him up for a teaching in August, right?
August 11th here. Mark the calendar. I'll be pacing. About August 4th, I'll start the pacing. But, for the last 2 years, ever since Donald Trump was elected president, all we've ever heard is walls, walls, walls. Build the wall, build the wall, build the wall, build the wall. So I don't know if either the Lord directed me to this or whatever, but I just said, you know what, let's do something on walls. Let's talk about walls. So, of course, whenever you're talking about the wall, the first thing you're going to talk about, the Great Wall of China. And I didn't look to when these were built or how long it took to build them or build them or how long they are or anything about it. What I looked into is, what are these things made of? How do they make the Great Wall of China? It's interesting. The Great Wall of China is built with rammed earth, stones, wood, brick, tiles, lime, and stone. And of course, last but not least, there was a few human bodies stuck in there too. I mean, they built it, they got killed, and they go. In fact, you see that Chinese, the terracotta army, if anybody's ever seen that in China, it's all these terracotta soldiers. I think they're actually humans under the terracotta. Kind of remind me of Star Wars when Han Solo was frozen or zapped into whatever he was. But that's what the Great Wall of China is. That's a lot of stuff. The next wall I thought of was the Berlin Wall. Pretty famous wall. It didn't actually, didn't stand that long, maybe 30 years at the top, the most. The Berlin Wall is concrete blocks, topped by barbed wire and glass, and paving stones. There was a couple hundred people during the course of its time that were killed trying to escape from East and West Germany. And, when the wall came down, I think it was in 89, 91, it was a big deal. If anybody remembers that, I mean, it was all over the news. People are there, they're beating it with hammers, and everybody's going crazy. And that was a nasty time in our country's history. It was bad. I don't know if it was good or bad that the wall came down, but hey, it came down. It's like that John Mellencamp song, "The Walls Came Tumbling Down." Well, they did, and there was a lot of people happy about it. A lot of families were reunited with that. The third one, and this is what I'm really going to aim at today and talk about somewhat and maybe do something a little different today. And it's not to belittle the process that we're here, but it's just something I felt that God was leading me to talk about and wanted me to do. The walls of Jericho. We all know about that famous story. They were made of mud, brick, on top of stone base. So that was it. And of course, there's other walls in the Bible. The wall when Nehemiah rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem and that. But these were kind of the three I kind of zoned in on. I don't know if the word zoned is right, but hey, I was something. I was something in them. But what I'm going to do today is I brought this. And they walked around Jericho for 7 days, blew a trumpet every day. So what I figured, let's do something a little different. So I started praying, and the Lord gave me seven things that I think that we build walls in front of ourselves. And those are walls that need to be broken down also. Whether we know it or not, these walls can grow and grow, and we don't even realize. So I have seven things picked out. But what I'm going to do is, after I go every one, I'm going to walk around this table. I'm going to blow this horn. After each one, I've been practicing. It's going to be rough. I think, Pastor Don, I think you were over my house once and you gave this to something. I don't know. I wish everybody recorded that squeak. But it was good. But I've been practicing, so hopefully what we're going to do is, just like the book of every time I explain, I'm going to come around, I'm going to blow this horn. And on the seventh one, I'm going to blow this horn, and I expect everybody to give me a shout. Whatever you want to do. And as I go through each one of these words, if a word applies to you, pray on it. I don't expect anybody to stand up. I don't want anybody to raise their hands. This is all between you and God. If one of these walls are up there, then I want you to pray on it. We're going to break down some walls today, whether we want to or not. We're going to make some noise, and this thing's going to be loud. It's going to be nasty, and I might even some spit might even come out of it. So I'm going to be pointing that way. But that's what we're going to try to do. And I just hope it goes well and everybody appreciates that I'm an old man and these lungs can only blow so much. But that's what we're going to do today. And the first one, I think, is the biggest one, pride. We always run into that pride. I remember when I was first saved years ago, pride built up in me so fast that I was so much better than everybody else. I'm saved. I can walk around and do whatever I want. I could talk to you. I shouldn't talk to you. I'm saved. God dealt with that real fast. Hey, who am I to think that about anybody? When I think back at where I came from and who I was, I don't have any right to say anything to anybody about anything. So I think the big thing about pride is because the word I shows up, and it's I instead of him is what happens. And that's what pride. And I think God hates pride the most because one of his most beautiful creatures he ever created let pride destroy him, and he was driven out of heaven. And that's Satan. We're going to read from, and then some people say this isn't about Satan, it's about something else, but I think it's, personally, I think it's something to do with Satan. It's in Isaiah 14, 13 and 14. And just realize, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. Just notice that I, everything's I, and it just grinds, I'm sure, God's heart that we start, everything is I. It's like the old saying, sports saying, there's no I in team. I will make myself like the Most High. And there you go. When we start putting anything in our lives, no matter what it is, above God, and it concerns us, that's when pride moves in. That's when we assume God's position in our life. All of a sudden, instead of God being first, we're first. And whatever that pertains to, your job, your work, how you feel towards other people, your station in life, whatever the case may be, when you start to put that in front of God, then that's when it becomes a problem, big problem. So pride is nasty. Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Completely humble is the word. Not just humble here and there, now and then. It's completely humble all the time in our entire lives. No matter what we're dealing with, we have to be humble. That's not easy. It's just not easy sometimes to be humble. But that's what God expects of us. Not sometimes, all the time. That's a key word. Be humble all the time. James 4:6. But he gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Just that scripture right there would tell me he favors the humble. So if you want God's favor, let's be humble. As humble as you can be. Even when we're in prayer time, sometimes, you lay in bed, a quick prayer or something. No. In our prayer time, we should be on our face. Obviously, clean the floor before we do anything like that. But still, we should be on our face, humbling ourselves before God. That's where God wants. I mean, he doesn't want us on our face all the time, but when it comes time to communicate with God, we should. And sometimes, we're going to be in our car, you're driving, or just sitting here. Somebody might be out there praying, hey, when's this guy going to end? But still, the thing is, we have to be humble at all times. And he opposes the proud. That would be another thing. He's opposing the prideful person. So, geez, I don't want to be that. So that's our first word today, is pride. And like I said, I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up or anybody to do anything. If pride is a problem, if there's a wall of pride starting to build up in your life, what I'm going to do, the walls of Jericho, I'm going to walk around here. And I want you to think, is pride a problem in my life? And if it is, let's get rid of it right now. Let's do it right now. Let's start that battle on the first building block of that wall. I'm going to blow this trumpet, and we're going to get rid of pride right now. Woo! Yeah! All right! Woo! Amen. Hey, Elizabeth, what the heck was that? Okay.
I was going to say, you have no pride going in that thing because that was loud.
Hey, I don't care. I got seven times to do it. Hey, I'm just glad I come up.
It was great.
I came up with this genius idea in the shower. He goes, you know what? I'm just going to walk around, and by the time we get to the second one, maybe I'll have my breath back, and maybe I can do it a little better. I was blowing a little better last night and this morning. So as we go along, we're going to get there. But hey, all I know is we just got rid of pride. If there was pride in our life, we just shattered that wall right now. Let us put pride behind us where it belongs. And these words I'm coming up with, this is, everybody has their own problems, their own walls. Fear. Unpleasant emotion, dread, fright, believe something bad is going to happen. And there was a word in there under fear. It was called woe, W-O-E. The only time I've ever heard the word woe even used, anybody that's a Conan fan, Conan the Barbarian, he was on the tree of woe. If anybody remembers, Arnold was sitting there, you know, the things were pecking away at him. He started eating what he said. But that's the only time I've ever heard the word woe even mentioned. So, hey. If woe is fear, then hey, woe is me for sure. And fear comes in different levels. I mean, I know as a fireman, you know, we go into a fire, I was kind of afraid. I wasn't fearful, but I was afraid. And there's different levels of fear. But that, we're talking about the fear that just grips you every single day of your life. That I know right after I had my heart attack, I had a stent put in on March 6th. I had two blockages, pretty bad. So I figured, he goes, well, I'm not going to put the second stent in. I goes, what are you talking about? He goes, well, we'll give you a month off to take care of it. I goes, a month? So, ask Sandy, for the next 30 days, I was scared to death that I was going to die at any given moment. That was the most fearful I've ever been in my entire life. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I couldn't do anything. I wouldn't go to nothing. I was so afraid that I was going to drop dead on the spot. And this is when God started working on me to get back to where I needed to be. Eventually, April 6th came. I got that second stent in. But you know what? That didn't change anything. I was still crying out to God. And then the next step came, April 24th, the first day I stepped into this church. And ever since then, God has slowly, you know, been working on me. And I always remember, I told Sandy, I was out, I was listening to a song driving around. It was Sandy Patty and somebody else. I forget the name. The name of the song was Prayer. The prayer. And I'd listen to it all the time, but that one day, I don't know, it was a revelation or something, I listened to that song, I started crying my eyes out. I walked in the house, I told Sandy, I goes, dear, I'm not afraid to die. It just, all of a sudden, that fear, I mean, that intense death fear was gone. And I'm not saying, you know, there's fears in our life, you know, I'm afraid, I have to go to this interview for a job. Oh, I'm afraid of that job. And we know what level of fears we're at, but when that fear starts to hinder your walk with God, your relationship with God, that's the fear we're talking about. And everybody has their certain level of fear that's going to do that to them. Deuteronomy 31:8. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And this is a good one. I think this is how. 1 John 4:18. Perfect love casts out all fear. And that's the love of God. There's no more perfect love than that. And he talks about it. Sure, there's going to be some times in our life we might feel that fear. But then we go to God and we take care of that. So fear. That's our next building block. We're going to try and blow it down this time. So we're walking around here. If you have a fear in your life of anything, it doesn't have to be a big fear. If it's a little fear, walls start, they start low and they build up. So let's think of our minds right now. If we're fearful of anything right now, whether I blow this good or I blow this bad, let's get rid of that fear right now. That fear is no longer in our life in the name of Jesus. Woo! All right. Amen. Praise God. Two down, five. What is it? Brother, what with the girls' softball? Two down, one to go. Well, I got two down, five to go, brother. We got five to go. Woo! Amen. The next one, doubt. Lack of conviction, uncertain. We all have doubt about things in our lives. Am I being a good walk? Is my walk with God good enough? Am I being a good enough friend? Am I being a good enough husband? Am I being a good enough spouse? There's that doubt. But once again, we're talking about any doubt that starts to get it in front of God's in our lives, then there's a problem there. We're going to read from Matthew 14:31-33. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" It doesn't matter how strong a Christian we are sometimes or how weak. That doubt's going to creep in there every now and then. We have to fight against that. 1 John 5:13. "I am writing this to you so that you may know that you have eternal life, you that believe in the Son of God." Another thing we've been working on, these are promises of God. That's a promise. He's not saying, well, you might make it to heaven, or if you do this. The word is, so that you may know you have eternal life. There's no doubt in that. That's what he's telling us. Don't have any doubt in our life, for sure. Once again, there are different levels of doubt. There's some big doubt. There's some little doubt. Doubt. Whatever doubt is in your mind, whatever doubt is in your life.
Doubt always leads to fear.
Amen. Amen. There we go. I like that. So we're knocking down the next wall.
Yes.
We're getting rid of doubt right now.
Yes.
It's cracking. It's crumbling right now. And I'm going to blow this horn. It's either going to be me or the horn by the end of this day. Woo! I don't know. It's coming out. It's coming out. I'm doing my best. All you can do is your best, and that's what I'm doing. I'm doing as good as I can do. I don't know what anybody said, but amen.
It was all good.
Amen. The next one is, and these are grief. We all know about grief. Deep sorrow caused by death of a loved one. Heartbreak. We've all been there. I know my sister died at 49. Everybody's lost parents young. Sandy's mother died when she was 45. We've all lost that young one. Even as we get older, or we lose an older relative, even they're in their 90s, there's grief there. Without a doubt, I just lost my best friend in the world. The other, you know, when you were here, you all prayed for me. Thank you so much for that. But, you know, it's just these words I always remember. My heart is broken, but my spirit rejoices. That grief can be tempered by the fact that, hey, maybe, you know, that person was saved. But it doesn't take away the grief. And sometimes people will begin to doubt God. How could you do this? How could you take this loved one from me? How could you take my child, my father, my son, my brother, my sister, my best friend? But the thing about it is, they don't realize God doesn't do anything. That's just life. That's what happens to life. Life will end. And there's so much difference between a saved person's funeral and an unsaved. With that hope, grief, you're tempered by hope. Because you know what's standing, where that person will be next. Grief. Everybody knows this, Matthew 5:4. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." It's coming. The comfort is coming. Let us mourn no more. He heals the Psalm 147:3. "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." God knows our feelings towards our loved ones. Broken heart. There's no doubt about it. Everybody here, I'm sure one time, they've had that broken heart. I mean, and you know, it just feels like your heart, it's just falling apart. How can it be mended? God heals those wounds. Then we have to remember too, Apostle Paul talks about to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So take that grief when you know that they're in the presence of the Lord. What a better place can there be? I mean, gosh. It's fantastic. So, here we go again. Grief. Grief doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, when that one person passes away, there's always that one person where that grief just hits you so hard that you have a hard time. God, why me? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Let's put that grief aside right now. Let's know that this is another building block that keeps us from God. And we're not going to have this grief anymore. When I get done, well, we'll see what happens. But let's get rid of grief right now. Woo! We're getting there. We're getting there. 911, where's the oxygen? No thanks. I know how good... Oh, go ahead, brother. You're the pastor. You can say whatever you want, brother. Just don't cause me no grief.
Yeah, good grief, right? You know, we're talking about grief, and had an interesting thing happen this week. About 5 years ago, there was a young girl we were trying to get to come over to Western, play ball. She was a very good ball player when she was in junior high. She was really good. And I would see her mom always at the park. She was always over there walking around, and I would talk to her. And her mom was very religious. She attended Holy Redeemer. And her mom, you know, no, I'm not sending her to Western. I'm sending her to get a good religious education, you know. And so she departed, and we'd see her once in a while during the summer. She played a couple games. But as time went on, you saw our girls get a lot better, and she, like, regressed. So she graduated. I didn't know what became of her. And this week we were playing the Holy Redeemer, which is now Cristo Rey. And Bill, you know Bill, black-eyed coach is with me. He says, hey, Luce is over there. I thought he was talking about Ray's daughter, Luce. You know, I go, where? I don't see her. You know, and Luce, you know, who used to come down to the park? And he pointed her out. So she was over there helping the Cristo Rey team. And, you know, and then after the game, I usually stick around, pick up, and clean up. And it was kind of getting dark. And I was talking to one of their coaches who was a teacher there, and all of a sudden this Luce walks up. And we just started talking, and, you know, I asked her, I said, well, how are things going? And all of a sudden she just begins pouring out her heart, you know. I said, have you got with the priest over at the church? She goes, I don't go to church no more. And you could just see this grief, and she began talking about the things that she thought she had missed out by not being at Western, because we had like our senior day, you know, where they get pins and things like that. And the more and more that she talked, you could just see this hurt, this grief that she was hurt that she wasn't allowed to go down this path that she wanted to go down, you know. And it stifled her. And I asked her, I said, well, she goes, I don't go to church. I don't believe in God no more. And I'm thinking, you know, what a shame. You know, she was a great young kid. And so through the grief, you know, I was able to speak to her, and I said, you know, I want you to come over to the church, sit down. I said, maybe I'll be able to help you out, maybe not. But it was just funny, and as I walked away, I'm just, you know, God puts us in those situations where, you know, all of a sudden here's this young girl, and everything she's doing just pouring out her life. And Amen. How many of us come to know the Lord if we weren't going through something? Mm-hmm. There wasn't grief mm-hmm. in our heart. Amen. And so, you know, when you blow that trumpet, I was just saying, God, pray for this young girl.
Amen.
You know, that has that hurt, that feels that she missed out on something in life, and try to encourage and say, you know, your mom made the best decisions. But we all have those areas.
Amen.
And we grieve over the loss, like you said, of someone we love, or we go through a situation that didn't turn out the way, and we're stifled by that type of thing. And so, you know, I'm going to believe when you blow that thing seven times, brother, you know, that's
pour
not
down.
The only thing. Amen.
We're going at it, brother.
That's just an interesting thing how things happen, you know.
Amen. Well, our next one is disobedience. Uh-oh. Failure or refusal to obey rules or someone in authority. And I like this word right here, rebellion. It's just, there's just something about that word, who knows. Ephesians 5:6, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. I don't know about you, I don't want the wrath of God. And God doesn't want 99.9% obedience. He wants 100% obedience. It's hard to do sometimes, but it's something we have to do. And this is key. John 15:14, you are my friends if you do what I command. It's that song, I am a friend of God. It's only if you're doing what he commands. God don't play. He's not going to call you friend if you're disobedient. Luke 11:28, he replied, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. You can hear the word of God all you want, but if you don't obey it, guess what? It's not a good thing. So that's next on our hit list. Disobedience. I'm going to be obedient to God because I told the God I'm going to blow this trumpet seven times.
Amen.
We're going with number five right now. So let's think about the wall that we build up in front of us with disobedience. Let's start getting rid of that disobedience right now. Let's obey God. When we hear from God, let's don't doubt it. Let's obey God. Whatever he's telling us to do, that's kind of loud. We're knocking down another wall. It's called disobedience. And while you're being obedient to God, I think he's telling you, pray for that guy blowing that horn. So we get through it again. Woo! All right. Five down, two to go. That's all I know. The next one is worry. And I'll tell you what, I'm worried I ain't getting through this. A state of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or potential problems. Worry. I worry a lot about my wife. Let's face it, 12 years ago that she was dead, and she had, you know, some medical problems. I try not to. I know she's in God's hands, but sometimes we just worry. There's nothing we can do about it. We try not to. Psalm 55:22, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Amen. There you go, trust in him. Be righteous, we will not be shaken. Luke 12:25, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life or a single cubit to your height? We got plenty of things to worry about in this life. There's no doubt about it. Paying bills, our walk with Christ, we worry about things. As much as we pray, as much as we try not to worry, it's going to creep in there. That worry creeps in there. But you know what? Don't let it get to a point where all of a sudden it starts to build a wall in front of you. You start worried about everything. Because if you're worrying, you're not trusting God. It's called faith. It's a hard thing to do to get rid of that worry. But God asks us to do that. His word, he'll take care of us. There's nothing we can do about it. Number 6, worry. It's an easy thing to do. Sometimes it's hard to get rid of. We always worry. We always worry. But guess what? Let's have faith in God today. Let's knock down this wall, this brick, number 6, of worry. We've already gotten rid of 5 of them. So let's get rid of this 6th one. Let's get rid of worry right now. Let's think about it. Let's pray on it. Woo! Amen. Praise God. Last but not least, envy. A feeling of discontent or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, someone else's qualities, or someone else's luck. Now, as Christians, I don't believe in luck one bit, and I'm sure nobody else does either. There's no luck involved in our life. There's no luck that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. It wasn't luck that he called us and we listened and made that commitment to Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:1. So put away all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander of every kind. Envy's not good. We are who we are. We are who God made us to be. And if we're envying towards somebody else, then we don't want to be what God made us. Yeah. Proverbs 24:19. Do not fret because of evildoers or be envious of the wicked. Envy's bad enough, but when we're envying people that aren't saved for what they have or what they're doing, something's wrong. Because we're up here. We have the number one thing we can have in life. We have Jesus in our life. We have a belief in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love does not envy. We should never be envious of anybody, but especially brothers and sisters in Christ. If we start being envious of other brothers and sisters in Christ, that's not good. Because what you're doing is you're pitting the body of Christ against each other. You're asking for somebody else's blessing. They were blessed for a reason. That's not my blessing. That's their blessing. Work on your own blessing. Go for your own. Don't envy anybody on anything. This is the 7th one. We know what happens on the 7th one. I want everybody to think. You can scream. You can yell. You can do it. Yell whatever you want. Maybe there's a brick here that we've talked about that you want to get rid of. You can yell it. You can yell Jesus. Yell, whatever you want to yell, because it says in the Word, after they blew that trumpet the 7th time, they shouted. So we're going to shout for joy because all of the, and there's other bricks. I'm sure I haven't gotten all of them. Those are just 7 I read about. I'm going to say I thought I came up with them. But that's what we're going to do. I'm going to blow this trumpet the 7th time. And I want everybody to shout. I don't care what you shout. But I want you to shout because we've knocked down 7 bricks that are walls in front of us that keep us from serving God. I'm going to blow the trumpet and I'm going to shout something. Everybody can shout whatever they want to shout after this lovely trumpet is done blowing. Glory! Woo! Amen. Amen. The walls are down. Let's try our hardest not to build them back up again. Because I can't blow that trumpet no more. I'm done.
Amen.
This is working out perfect. I have a video. 6-minute video. It's not the... Absolutely.
Talking about walls coming down. Several years ago, we had intercessory prayer on a Friday morning here in church, 6 a.m. Now, not everybody could make it pretty early before we went off to work, and this was quite a while ago. During that time of prayer, we started praying for the students across the street at the high school. And then we decided, well, let's march around the school. So we did that. We marched around the school, that, and it was like wet outside, and we're going through the high weeds and everything,
we're
but through the parking lot, marching and praying for the students in that school. Now here we are, short time after that now the students are coming over here, and we have Bible release right here in the church.
Amen.
So that was a big answer to prayer.
Pastor, also I think we did that for the theater that was here. We marched.
No, go ahead. I was going to give it to Betty. Talk about that.
All right, you're done. Time's up.
Okay. There was another time when there was a theater here, Mel Theater. And when I grew up, it was a very good family theater. And then somebody else bought it, turned it into X-rated movies. And ill repute. Thank you. Yeah. So we did, how many days did we do? 52-day fast and prayer that building would be gone
around the clock.
Around the clock.
Yep.
And we would come in here and pray, or we would pray at home, but it was covered for 52 days. On the last day, the wrecking ball hit the building,
walls
and it's gone.
Amen. That's a wall. Amen. What this song here is, it talks about walls. It talks about moving mountains, and it talks about God's promises. I mean, I was pulling some weeds, and this song came on my phone. I heard it. I played it. I listened to this. Just go ahead, brother. So I got the...
Pensé que caería, no, mas nunca me has fallado, Dios. La espera terminará. Sé que has vencido ya. Nunca me has fallado, Dios. En ti confiaré, tu promesa sigue en pie, tú eres fiel. Confiado andaré, en tus manos estaré. Ya acabará, tu palabra se cumplirá, mi corazón te alabará, Cristo mi Salvador, cúbreme con tu amor. confiare, tu promesa sigue en pie, tú eres fiel. Confiado andaré, en tus manos estaré.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Have a blessed service today. And just, before we part, I'd like to, everybody in prayer, let's lift up the Wydeck family in prayer. They lost the patriarch of their family, Lord. And Father, we just pray for the Wydeck family, Lord God. We lift them up to you, Lord God. I know they're having that grief, that word we talked about, Lord God. But they know that he is already before their Savior, Lord God. We just pray for that family, Lord God. Let them get through this time of grief the easiest way possible, Lord God. Yes. We give the glory. We give you praise. And it's his name, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody.
The Bugle Boy, a round of applause. Great job. Great job.
Thanks.